more.
Well, hi, friend. Thank you for listening. We're so thrilled to be with you. And I am very, very happy because I have a good friend of my family and now my husband and I, Josh Baldwin, in studio today. And what a good man. And you know, it's so interesting. I feel like I heard before we actually like spent any time together writing or kind of, you know, actual real conversations, I just heard rumors about the legend of Josh Baldwin from my brothers in Peking Country. You were on the road with them tour, right?
It was a year ago. Last spring.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. It wasn't even work. It was just very easy.
Yeah. Kind of fun. Instant brotherhood.
Yes.
That's how it felt from what they were saying about you anyway.
Yeah, well, and it was right during like the NBA finals. And so Luke and I really connected over watching the NBA and the playoffs and everything. But they're great. I'm still good friends with the band guys and done some writing with some of the guys in the band. So yeah, I love them.
Yeah, and then we hung out at a worship event called Gather, Cubby and I, and was your wife there for that too?
She was,
Yep, Sheila was there, and it feels a long time ago now. And then we wrote together for my album.
Yes.
We have a song that we wrote together out in Reading. That was such a sweet time. And then you told me there while we were writing the song, Middle of the Fire, you told me a very humorous story that just kind of blessed my heart too, honestly. So you want to tell it?
Yeah, I'll tell it. I remember because I'd met you at Gather, the worship thing, and then I knew we were writing together, and it was funny because I was telling my wife the story. I was like, so this isn't technically the first time I've met Rebecca. And so I think I was 15 or 16. I can't remember. I know I was in high school, and I'm from Charlotte, and I went and saw you at Carowinds Christian Music Day, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah. It's like a Six Flags.
Right. And, and I got your autograph. I came back to the back tent where you were at your merch table and got your autograph, but I got you to sign it to my girlfriend at the time, my high school girlfriend, because she was actually in the hospital. She had just had her appendix taken out.
Oh my goodness.
And she couldn't come. And she was like, you have to get Rebecca St. James' autograph. And
so
I was like, all right. So I remember I even had you sign it to her. I don't even think I told you my name, but yeah. So that was the first time we actually met. And then the next time we were writing a song together. So that was pretty special.
Yeah. And we're not even going to talk about how many years that was later.
I know. Yeah. That was 5-6 years ago.
Not long ago at all. Not long ago.
Yeah, that was fun. And then the writing day, that was
a sweet.
Real honor. Yeah.
Yeah, and this really special song landed about trusting God in the middle of the fire and in the middle of life's challenges. And and it's ended up being just like such a special song on this album.
I love it.
Thank you for singing with me on it too. It's really
so
nice
to be a part of it.
Well, I'm really glad that we got to do that. And we're going to be talking a little bit today about contentment, and it has, you know, to do with identity as well. I mean, there's a lot of kind of other sub themes, but you and I have had some conversations just about life, and I kind of put it out there because I what I really love to do in these podcasts is hear from people that I know have a wonderful journey and wonderful story and wonderful, like specifically God stories, and wisdom that they've learned through their life experience. Yeah. And so you are one of those people, but I just kind of open it up to you just saying, hey, what would you like to talk about? And kind of naturally through your journey and sharing a little bit about that, this whole theme of contentment came up. And I just thought it was really, really interesting. I'm a very curious person, so this is really fun for me, just kind of getting to the heart of people's stories. But I love that you went there because I think contentment is one of those things that I think for especially people living in first world countries, it's like, it's really challenging because it's almost like we look around and we feel like somebody else's grass is greener. Somebody else has it easier. Somebody else has it better, especially with social media.
Yes.
Someone else is having more fun.
Right.
You know, they're living more of an adventure than me, or they're living out even their purpose or their calling in a different way. And maybe I should be doing that. And it just ends up eating into our contentment, which we are called to in Jesus. So do you want to share a little bit about just kind of why that was a theme that you felt challenged by and what your life has taught you to do with that?
Yeah, sure. No, that I love that you brought up the, because I don't think, when we were talking about, I don't even think I remembered social media, such a big role in
it plays a big part in and, that and, losing and your contentment.
The whole comparison thing, which obviously steals your joy, steals your peace. That topic, it's always like right in the forefront of my mind and my heart, because I grew up in church. I grew up, I'm a pastor's kid. Also a worship leader's kid. My dad led worship too. So I grew up in music. I grew up playing drums and worship and then leading worship when I was in high school. And,
what age would you have been when you actually started, leading?
When I started leading worship, 16, 17.
Yeah.
Right when we met, maybe.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Because we got way back.
Right. Yeah. I was 16, 17 when I started playing acoustic and leading worship in my youth group. And and that was like when, obviously that was when I first had like the passion to do, I just knew like this is, I love this more than doing anything else.
Yeah.
I just want to play music. I love worship. And then it rolled into songwriting in my early 20s. And that's when I just started having these dreams of like one day, you know, doing what I'm doing now, but it's like lofty, like, I don't think this is even attainable kind of dreams, you know?
And, but you had people like prophesying
and people
too,
telling me, I went to ministry school and started writing songs more and more and started falling in love with that even more. And that was when I really found out like, okay, this is actually just what I'm called to do. It's not just a passion, not just something on the side, but this is what I want to do with my life. And then I was a worship pastor at a small church in the mountains of North Carolina.
Yeah.
And then for like 5 or 6 years, and through all that, yes, I would get like words from people and who amazing people would speak into my life and like, let's just see you, you're called to this. I see you doing this one day. And I'd even feel things from the Lord myself, you know, and my parents and just all these things. But then I would look at my current situation where I was, and I'm like, well, why isn't it, you know, I'd want to rush the process and I want to get there immediately. And Lord, why isn't this happening now? And then, you know, it moved into, I went back to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'm from, or I'm from just outside of Charlotte. I usually say Charlotte because my little town, no one knows it. It's Albemarle, North Carolina. But So I went back to there and I was the worship pastor at another church there for 5 years and all like amazing times. But I feel like a lot of those times in the middle of all those times, I would have like discontentment just come into my life because I'm looking at these dreams that I feel like the Lord's placed in my heart and other people have confirmed it with words and prayers. And I was like, why is that not happening, Lord? Like, what am I doing wrong? Or what, you know.
We often go to that place of self-blame. I'm getting it wrong.
Yes. Yeah. I am like, that is my thing. I will always blame myself.
Too.
I'll go straight
too.
To, obviously I'm not doing something right. Or there's sin in my heart, something.
Right.
What
right.
is it? And it wasn't just with the dreams in my heart. I wasn't married yet. It was like, okay, Lord, I want to be married. I want to be a father. And
what age did you get married?
I got married at 31.
Yeah. It was 33 for me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all through my 20s, I was the worship pastor at an amazing church with amazing people and two pastors in my life, other than my dad, who really, I don't think I would have gotten to where I am now without the guidance of them. And they saw it too, and would just keep speaking the promises and that hope, but also like, hey, this is where the Lord has you now. Don't give up on what, don't like look to your dreams. Yeah, look to the future and then forget where the Lord has you now. And it was that way with even in marriage and, or, you know, not having a wife yet.
So you were the single worship leader.
I was the single worship leader.
Identity for a while.
Yes.
Oh, I know about that. I mean, I lived in that space too, of like this single Christian artist.
Everyone trying to connect you with she would be great for you, you know, and all that. And so, but I, there was a season, and I met my wife when I was 29, I think. Yeah. And so we were married in 31. And then I still had 5 more years of us married together in Charlotte before Bethel Music and all that. And, there was a point in my life where I felt like I felt like I heard the Lord say, like, you're a worship pastor, you're pastoring these people. You've been dropping the ball on that. And you're trying to pastor your dreams. You're trying to you're trying to breathe life into something that I want to breathe life in. And I want you to pastor the people in front of you, and I'll pastor your dreams. I will water that garden, you know? And
how soon before everything changed for you with Bethel Music and, you know, you became kind of a household name with worship.
Yeah.
How soon before that did you have this word from the Lord about just own where you are, be content here in this space, be thankful?
It was maybe 2 or 3 years before.
Yeah.
It was, I was actually working on an album, or I just started to work on an album that was the album that I did right before Bethel Music.
Okay.
It's called Rivers. And it was in that season where I was like, okay, because I was like, I was waiting for something, somebody or something to help me and to push me into the next thing, whatever it was. And that was the point. I was like, when I realized that, I thought, okay, I'm going to pour into the church that I am here, that I love.
You're all in. It was to be all in.
I love this church anyway. Yeah, I love the people. I love this anyway. Why am I not giving my whole heart to it? And then I'm like, I have these batch of songs that I've wrote for my church, for my local church here that I want to just, I wanted to record them. I want to get this out. And so that was when I was like, okay, I just need to do that. I'm going to do the next thing that I know to do.
Yeah.
And it was when I started to work on that I started to feel life in that. And that was when the Lord started to breathe on these other things. And, it was like maybe 2 years later that I went out to Bethel to visit. I had known Brian and Jen from this ministry that I worked with in Charlotte. We're friends with Bethel and kind of a sister ministry. And I knew Brian and Jen, and so I went out to visit. And that was when the whole the Bethel Music stuff started to happen. And that was 2014. But you know, I was 35 when 34, 35. And I'd gone all this time, and you know, that's the funny. I was joking around with somebody the other day, and we joke about like worship leader years. It feels like 40 is like 85 in worship leader years.
and it's
getting younger and younger, or older and older. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there was something in me. There was like that thing in me a little bit that like, wait, am I like past like?
Right. This, I'm getting closer to 40 by the year. Is this
which is crazy when you're there? You're like, I still feel very young and sometimes very immature in a lot of ways.
Me too.
And so
we're just always learning.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Always learners.
It's so the Lord is so faithful to just breathe on things.
Yeah.
And it was when I finally let go. And it's funny, I look back at a lot of my 20s and I thought, man, I wonder, I mean, this is me too, maybe going back and like, what could I have done better? Or did I do this wrong? You know that. But I do think, man, I wonder how much more joy I could have had in those seasons of life where I was single worship leader guy in my 20s. I wonder the joy that I could have walked in had I got a little bit of that revelation earlier and
being more all in,
more
right
present
where
and where I am.
Where
yeah.
Were. Right.
But yeah, I love what the Lord's done. And
yeah,
I love
for
where
sure.
I am, but
yeah. I feel like I relate quite a bit on, you know, especially during a certain season of my life, I had a kind of a similar season, but to me it more tapped into the theme of identity, but it really tied into contentment too. Contentment in maybe who God made me to be in that season. So I had wrapped up music. I was like kind of unofficially retired. I just kind of quietly finished out, you know, my shows. And this was about 7 years ago. And I mean, I definitely felt called to that, stepping away from all things music, writing, acting, anything that I was doing. I felt very at peace about that and wanted to just sew into married life. I'd only been married a couple of years at that point, and then having kids. We were like about a year away from, you know, trying to have kids. And so I remember at that time just kind of wrestling with this sense of feeling not enough, like discontent in kind of what I was offering in relationships, in the world. And I was so used to, I mean, I'm like working on an album. I'm working on new music. I'm on the road. I'm writing a book. Like, I'm doing all of this at once. I'm wearing all these different hats. And that was kind of what I'd known for the most part since I was 16. Yeah. So it was like productivity was just kind of like drilled into me. And that, and I think it had crept in that that was my value, or that was that was where I felt content, was when I'm being productive and I can kind of see the work of my hands. And I was working with a counselor around that time who just believes in healing prayer and just a lot, you know, like was really helping me a lot. And he just sat me down one day and he said, you know, do you know, Rebecca, that you could sit in a room with somebody else, friend, and anybody, and not say one word, not in your head, like give anything, and you are being a gift.
Wow.
Just your presence, just you showing up, that's just so you being you and who God created you to be. Like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking back to that, so because it was so transformative, because I think it was like a light bulb went on in my head, like, I don't have to do all this stuff, and I don't have to have like achieved all this stuff or be to this certain level of productivity to be received by God and to be received by others in safe community. Like, I'm I'm received just because of whom he made me to be, no matter what I'm giving at that point. Yeah. And obviously my heart is to give and my heart is to be like flourishing. But at that point I felt very spent, I suppose, and with not much to offer. But it was just this like coming back to like my value and coming back to being content in that season that's with what I could offer, and that's enough at that time, you know?
Right. That's so good. Yeah, there's something that it, sometimes your identity gets wrapped up in what you, how much you can give and what you're doing. And and then, which it's kind of, we were talking about this yesterday, this season that we're in and the pulling back that's happened and everyone just at home with families, it's, it initially it was that like, oh, well, what do I do now? And who am I now?
Like,
if I'm not,
and I'm not out and about.
Like, if I'm not traveling, or if I'm not leading worship, or if I'm not doing this or that, recording, whatever, what, who am I now? And, it's been so, it's been such a gift, honestly, to just sit back. And it's a time to be what we were talking about our kids yesterday, and, teaching them how to be grateful, and and that, and I think that's what a lot of being content with where with what the Lord's given you and where you are. I think being grateful is the key thing in all that for me. I remember, now when it comes up, my wife and I, we talk about things whenever there's a time where like maybe we're feeling that discontentment, where we're feeling like things aren't going the way we want them to go, or what's not happening. You're focused on that, or what's next. What, like, that was awesome, but what's the next big thing? It feels like, okay, we have to pull back and think, like, let's list all the things that we're grateful for that's happened. And I remember we sit down with our kids at dinner time, and whenever there's fighting and bickering, and it's happened a lot in the last few months when we're all just together. I can always feel it, especially in my son. He is like a, he's like the what's next kind of guy. He just, he loves life and he wants to
experience all of it. The time.
And with no downtime until he's ready for bed, and then he's out and he sleeps so hard. That's the blessing. Is he does,
that is a blessing.
He's out. He's out because he's gone so hard all day long. And sometimes we sit down at dinner time, we're like, okay, my son's name's Bear. And we say, Bear, okay, you have to list three things that you're grateful for today before we start eating. Like, what? Because he'll just even like sitting down to eat. Like, are we going to someone's house next? Are we going, you know, this and that? I'm like, okay, stop. What three things that you're grateful for? And it just, you can see it shift things in him, but also just shift the whole atmosphere in the home. And we're just, oh, wow, I am so grateful for this moment here, to be here, to have a family. I remember praying for this to happen for years.
Totally.
And now it's happened. I remember, you know, just, you remind yourself of what the Lord's done.
Yeah. So and do you all go around the table and share something you're thankful for before you eat?
Not every time, but I would love to say it was like a beautiful time that we do everything.
That's a really good tradition. I think that's helpful to a lot of people listening.
Oh man, it's so, and it usually is when like there, you can feel the tension or the bickering between kids, or even me and Sheila and I, or something, you just feel.
You're using it as a reset.
It's a reset. It's a start over.
A thankful reset.
Let's start over. Everyone go around the room. Three things you're grateful for today.
So good.
Like, can be the most basic things, you know.
And if you're short on time, like one thing, you know, if the kids are super hungry and they're like, just say one thing, you know.
One thing for the kids, mom and dad might need five things.
Yes.
We might need,
for your thankful reset, you need five things.
Yeah, it just depends on how big of a reset you need to,
totally. That's so good. I feel like I had a really similar conversation with Gemma, who's six, our daughter, just recently. It was literally this week. And I think that she was wanting more cousin time. So we have, there's nine grandkids right now. And then I've got number 10 right now, who's still cooking. And so she just loves her cousins. And I remember that feeling growing up. Cousins in Australia was like the best. And I think she was saying, Mommy, I'm just sad about my day-to-day because I can't see my cousins. And you know some of those cousins, Jude and Phoenix, Luke's boys. And I just can't see them. And why don't I get to see them as much as what I want? And, you know, I try to empathize with her. I'm sorry that that's sad for you.
Yeah.
But I also just try to encourage her. Look, often when we see what we don't have and we're focused on that, then we don't see what we do have. Like you have a little sister who loves playing with you and you guys have a great time together and you do get to see your cousins pretty regularly, but sometimes all of us can focus so hard on what we don't have that we don't see what we do. And I'm so guilty of that.
Yeah.
And I just feel like we're very, especially my mom, very intentional about encouraging thankfulness and how when we do focus on being thankful, it promotes this content.
Yeah.
And it doesn't erase the pain because pain is still a part of life, right? And we go through seasons that are just hard. So putting on a spirit of thankfulness, or like just deciding I'm going to be thankful and this is going to revolutionize everything, it doesn't take away the pain, but it does help your perspective to see what you do have, not all that you don't have or all the... Just be overwhelmed by the pain. It takes it back a little bit.
You're not trying to numb the pain, you know,
No, because it doesn't work.
Right.
Just be thankful. I mean, I think I've thought that before. Well, maybe just if I'm thankful, then I won't hurt so much in this season. Like if I'm just always focusing on this is good, this is good, this is good. No, it still hurts. Yeah. You still got to be honest about that. But it definitely does change the perspective. Yeah. And we praise God more in the middle of it, right? Talk about in the middle of the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
totally.
That lyric is so true. When we praise him, when we thank him, our perspective goes to Jesus and not just stuck in the here and now.
Well,
you know that more than anybody because you're living like worship.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's, I mean, you say in the middle of the fire, it's a reminding, it's like the three... And the three who are in the fire, it's like that thankfulness, the gratefulness, it's also like, it's like reminding myself, he's actually in the fire with me. He's there. It's like that hand.
The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
You reach out, it's like you're grabbing his hand, remembering he's in there with me. I know I'm hurting. I know this doesn't feel great. And I don't know when it's going to end. But the thankful heart reminds me that I'm not in there by myself.
Well, I think it would be really interesting for people to hear, you're living all those dreams now, right? Like you're living those words that people gave you. you're living it, but it doesn't necessarily mean, right, that everything's perfect.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, like, speak to having, because I think that's what we think.
Yeah.
That's what we, in our, like, fairy tale castles, dream castles that we build in our minds, we're like, well, if I only were married, if I only had children and fertility wasn't an issue. And I know the pain of that. Gosh, we've walked through that and walked through the singleness thing. Like, there's so much compassion for people who are walking through that currently. It's agonizing.
Yeah.
But if only that trauma hadn't happened in my life, if only this dream was realized, I do it, you know, like I live in that space of next season. But you're in that season now. Can you just speak to, like, those times where you realize, okay, I'm in that season, dreams realized, but it's still hard. And what do you come back to?
Yeah. No, like, you, that's, and Sheila. So good, because that, I mean, that is true. It's like,
right?
I did think that. And there's always there. I mean, the enemy's not going to, like, stop trying to come at you and
steal your joy.
Yes. And there's happening, you know, there's comparison always creeps in. Social media doesn't make things easy in that regard.
Which probably means we need to limit it to some degree.
Yes.
Like, if we're living on it all the time.
Oh, totally.
We're going to play into that comparison game.
And I know that's one of the biggest things for me is comparison. And then when it breeds this thing of, I've had some success and the Lord's done some amazing things in my life, but this is probably it. And this is where it probably ends, and I'm just gonna like kind of coast, and because I'm not as anointed or as great as this other person. I can see it, you know, I see it right here on Instagram or whatever. You know, that's the lies
they're
that
anointed.
Start coming.
Yeah, yeah, like, I see it.
They have favor on their lives. I had some for a while. It was great. It's such a crazy backwards way of, you know, because there's this, I feel like the Lord, I feel like when I do that, I'm like limiting God to say, there's only so much goodness that the Lord has. And he kind of pours it out and divvies it out on everyone. And once it's done, then that's it. And, you know, that's like, and if he puts a little bit more on one person, then there's not enough for you to go. You know, that's just this crazy thing that's like, why do I feel like if something amazing happens to someone else that it can't happen, you know, that the Lord's not going to breathe on this for me. Mm. And it's going back to being grateful, obviously being thankful for what the Lord's done, but also it's celebrating others, celebrating those people. And instead of like comparison, just celebrating, what's the Lord doing? Like, wow. What is their journey? I know my journey, and it's been hard. It's not been the hardest. I'm sure other people have had like way tougher journeys than mine, but mine was hard for me and mine was difficult, and the Lord brought me through it.
Yep.
And he's still bringing me through it. I mean, day by day, I still feel like things can be a battle, and I overcome some days.
Yeah.
I might fall back a little bit some days, but I wonder what their story is, and look at what the Lord's doing in their life. Look at how he's breathing on things. I wonder what they were pastoring and sowing into while the Lord was watering these dreams that he's obviously like opening up right now, and they're coming true. So it's like, how can I celebrate them?
And
when I feel like that's like, when I do that, it does, there's this joy that comes inside of like, wow, if the Lord did that for them, what could happen for me? What could he do for me?
Good.
He wants to breathe on the songs that I'm writing right now. He wants those to get out. He wants to breathe on my family and my wife's dreams and the thing that she's pouring her heart in. And, it doesn't like stop. You don't like arrive, you know,
no.
It's a journey, and it can be a beautiful journey if you don't forget that he's there with you in the fire, but also in the great times I love what you said a minute ago. You were talking about, because I think sometimes too, I always go back to what can I do more, or what can I, if I stop, if I pull back, am I not being myself, or am I not walking in who the Lord's called me to be and my identity and all that? And there's, you were saying that people were telling you there's just you being there in the room. And I feel that even in songwriting. I had this time I was writing songs, where I had finished an album and I was kind of in a little season where I just kind of took a break from songwriting.
Yeah, sometimes you know, we got to do that.
Yeah, I'm just like, I just want
a really long break. Like a 7-year break.
I take long breaks. Because I just want to sing the songs that I've written. I'm like, I want to sing these songs. I'll write more later.
Yeah.
But,
when you got to kind of stock up on your life experiences to even write from, I feel like too.
And it had been a while and I had my buddy who was writing a song with another worship leader friend of ours, and they were kind of stuck on something. And he just called me. He's like, "Hey, can you just come over to the house and, you know, help us with something?" I was like, "Okay, yeah." So I came over and I didn't feel, I felt no inspiration. Yep. He was one of my best friends. And had it not been that, I probably would have said, "Nah, I'd rather not." But I'm like, "This is my buddy. Yeah. I'm just going to go hang out. I feel comfortable with him." Yep. And I remember I'm just sitting there in his studio and he's playing piano and the girls next to him and we're all close friends.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like I added any. I just sat there with my guitar and my friend just starts playing the piano and he's playing this line that they had already been working on, but he starts singing it a different way. And it's kind of this almost like a little more country vibe or something. And he's not like that at all.
Right.
She's not like that at all.
Yeah.
I'm definitely like that. I am definitely
I
country guy.
Yes.
And she was like, "Wait, what's happening?" And she's like, "I love this. But I feel like you're responsible for this." She like points at me and I'm like, "What?" She said, he has not been playing this way. He hasn't been writing this way this whole week. And you came and you're just sitting here.
It was your presence.
And yeah.
It was you
and I was
up.
Like, and I'm in the middle thinking I have nothing to give. I have nothing to add. I don't feel very inspired right now.
Yep.
And we were writing for her album.
Oh, wow.
And he just starts, but it was, it was who I am, who the Lord's made me. And
without striving, pushing,
I'm just there.
Yeah.
I'm playing guitar and he's playing. And it ends up being so much like me. She's like, "This, you need to have this song." And I just recorded it other week. So,
no way. But what's the name of that song?
It's called Into the Wild.
Wow. I can't wait to hear it.
But I love that it was, and it wasn't even like, maybe who I was like spiritually or like my anointing. I'm quoting, I'm using air quotes, but like
it was showing up with what you had.
It was just showing up and
day.
It was honestly just who I was, like where I'm from and like the music I grew up listening to and the natural, style of music that kind of oozes out of me because of who I am.
Yeah.
It was the Lord just used that and like turned the ship of that song that way. And it was such a moment. I remember going back home to show. I was like, since then I wrote more on it and I've done more on it. But I remember thinking, I was telling her, I was like, I didn't even feel like I added anything except my presence. I was just there.
Yeah.
And it turned the whole song around.
Yes.
And I was like, that's, the Lord is so faithful. Like he just.
But you'd also acknowledged to him probably that you didn't have much that day.
Yeah.
Like probably, right?
Yeah.
Like internally you're going, I feel weak. I feel like I don't have it.
Yeah.
And I feel like God can move in those times and so with so much power. And I know that's been true for me, like pretty much everything I've done in my life, music, writing, any acting, like anything I have felt absolutely inadequate for.
Yeah.
Like, and it has been this call to prayer and dependence, and I've known my weakness and I've known I need his strength and I need his inspiration. And I think there's something really beautiful in that.
Yeah.
And so even to moms that are at home that are, you know, kind of struggling, you're in small child mode and there's, you know, just like so much going on and it's overwhelming and you're just trying to breathe at certain points just to like not respond out of that emotion, or parents with teens, or you're single, or and you just feel overwhelmed by your circumstances, I feel like God wants to speak that word, that like we can be content in him in that moment, knowing that he's enough.
Yeah,
he is enough. And when we're acknowledging that weakness, like not only can he use us in that weakness, because we're relying on his strengths. He can maybe even use us more.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because we are more reliant on him. But it's just knowing, like, that in him we are enough and that we can be content with what we have at that point. A little girl said to me, well, actually, she wrote me a letter and kind of put flowers on it right when I was starting out music. I was probably in my teens. And it said, "Bloom where God plants you."
Wow.
And whenever anybody's kind of asked me about even my story with music and kind of starting to sing and all of that, like what advice I would give them, it's been that. It's like, bloom where God plants you. Yeah. Wherever you are right now, be faithful.
Yeah.
You know, be faithful to that mission that God has for you and delight in that and be content and be faithful with what he has given you right now, right in front of you. And don't live in that future, like what could be, because it can steal something away from you. And that little little girl her flowers on her picture has ministered to me so much. Yeah. And I still am reminded by that.
That is so good.
Yeah. And so I think another scripture that kind of comes to mind too, along the lines of what we've been talking about, is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, and probably almost all of us will be very familiar with this, but rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think he knows, even to remind us of that, and there's a lot of scriptures that call us to thankfulness and to joy and to contentment. You know, Paul found the secret of being content in all circumstances. Mm-hmm. Not that it was easy. He's like, crazy stuff happened to that dude.
Yeah.
But he knows the joy that we can experience even with the curveballs of life, or even with hope deferred making the heart sick, like those seasons.
Right.
When we are trusting him and opening our hands and being faithful with what we have right where we're at.
Yeah.
And so I'd love it if we could just kind of pray a covering prayer over anybody listening right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can start out, I'll finish out. But just in these areas, just kind of bless them to be faithful and to be content. Even with the challenges, because all of us are going through challenges all the time. We're all in the middle of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's pray over everybody listening.
Yeah, I'd love to. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for who you are and who you have always been and your faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, I do pray right now for those listening who this is resonating with, and they might feel like, I'm in that season where I see all the things that the Lord has for me, but my current situation doesn't look anything like that, and it's hard for me to feel content with what I have now and pour into what I have now. Lord, I just pray that you would just sweep over them with your peace, with your love.
Yeah.
And Father, just bring, I pray that gratitude, thankfulness will be their song.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that we grab hold of that, and I just pray that just in the moments when the enemy comes to try to steal our joy and steal their joy, that you would just remind them of all the things that you've done.
Yeah.
Remind them, Father. I pray that they would just, songs of thanksgiving would just flow in their homes right now. And Father, we just release those dreams. We let go and give them to you.
Yep.
And we just say, Lord, you water them. You water the garden of our dreams. And we will pour water on the things. We will water the things that you've placed before us. We will pastor the people, the family that you've placed before us right now. We will sow into that with our whole heart. And we will give you those things that are really yours to take and breathe on and breathe life into. And Lord, I just pray, I pray right now too that you would just squash the comparison thing that comes,
Lord,
to try to take our joy and steal life, the life that you've given us. You've given us life and life more abundant, and we want to live it in you, with you. And Father, I just, help us to learn how to celebrate others.
Help us to celebrate others,
celebrate what you're doing in others and also in what you're doing in us.
Yes, Lord.
So I just thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you so much for Josh. I thank you for his story. I thank you for what you've done in his life and are doing through him. Continue to anoint him, Lord, with songs and inspiration. And thank you for his testimony, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that, like Josh prayed, that we all together will honor you in all the seasons, Lord. That we will be faithful to what you've called us to do in all the seasons, and that we will, when we feel weak, trust in your goodness and your strength and know that you are enough. So we love you, Jesus, and thank you for this time. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you're listening and you've loved this or liked even this time and found it encouraging, we'd love to encourage you to, wherever you get your podcast, to subscribe for free so that weekly, every time a new podcast comes in, that you can get that alert and that you can hear those podcasts and hopefully be encouraged by them. But we thank you so much for joining Josh and I in this conversation and this hang time. And Josh, thank you so much.
Oh,
dude, you're
you
such
so
a great, great man. And
oh, wow.
We've been really honored to have you
so
here on the podcast.
Here.
So thanks so much.
Thank you.